Recently, a new fish species was discovered in the Mariana Trench, one of the deepest spots in the world, on Earth, in the ocean. Now, this fish, although the Mariana Trench is deeper, this fish was found at about 26,000 feet, which is almost 5 miles underneath the water. And this fish breaks the record of the deepest living fish ever found by scientists. Now, this fish species had no idea that it was unknown, nor that it was breaking a record by just appearing there. That fish was simply existing, doing what it normally does in the manner that it normally does based upon why God created it. It serves no other purpose other than to just go about its instinctual habits. Of course, it broke news in the scientific community because nobody had seen this particular type of fish before. And obviously, the scientific community was excited over the discovery. Quoting one deep sea biologist, you know, this really deep fish did not look like anything we had seen before, nor does it look like anything we know of. So I'm sure amongst those oceanic biologists that it was exciting, something brand new that they were able to discover here. In other recent news, this past week, the Kepler telescope, the space telescope, is back in the running. It's back to functioning. If you're not following the news, I'll give you an update of what the Kepler space telescope is. In May of 2013, NASA reported that two of the four spinning reaction wheels used to orient the telescope had conked out, leaving Earth-bound controllers unable to point the instrument accurately. So this is a telescope used to look for other planets. And in 2013, it stopped working. But NASA engineers later managed to stabilize the telescope by using the power of the sun to augment the reaction wheels. The team used the pressure of particles streaming out from the sun as a third wheel to augment the remaining hardware, and were able to orient the telescope accurately and keep it looking for distant planets. Just by the energy coming off of the sun, these scientists have been able to slowly and move this telescope in the direction they want to. They were able to, and it's quite a scientific feat to be able to use that ingenuity of the scientific community to be able to get this telescope working again. And of course, after it was working, they found some other giant Earth-like planet, 100 and something light years, maybe 500 light years, who knows, at some point the light years just go off into odd numbers that are hard to comprehend, but they found another planet that could sustain life. So exciting. You know, and this just shows, you know, these scientists are, every new planet they find, there's this hope that that one could have life, that one could be something like Earth, that could sustain people like us. You know, it just shows what specifically the mankind, but that community can accomplish by these wonderful minds that God has given us. We search deep, we search far out into the vastness of space, especially when we're driven and we're motivated to accomplish a task. Mankind wants to decipher and see what's at the deepest parts of this world, and they even more so want to discover what exists, hopefully, or as we know, maybe the basis to disprove God, but they want to find out what exists out in this marvelous universe that is up above our heads. Well, you know, as I said, the principal purpose of this Kepler mission was to find Earth-sized planets of the habitable zone of stars, which cannot be done by ground-based telescopes at this point. And the habitable range of a zone are distances where water can stay liquid, and life, as we would, or as scientists would explain it, would be able to survive on the planet's surface. This whole program, billions and billions of dollars, how much ever has been spent, time and with hardware, is to discover just this. Other planets that might exist, well, other planets that do exist, but trying to find life within these planets. You know, I get, reading all this stuff, I love reading about you know, the discoveries of the Hubble Space Telescope, seeing all these great discoveries, I get excited by seeing all of these. These deep findings in the ocean, it's exciting. But to me, it shows the grandeur of God's plan. The attention to the very minutiae, the smallest details in the depths of our ocean, God had his hand in. Actually, the Logos, the one that created everything. And he had his hand in the vastness and the expanse of this universe, the absolute unending, uncountable number of planets, suns, and universes that exist, and these star systems exist, all because of his plan, all because of us. You know, this ability to understand God's hand in all of this, God's hand in all these spectacular advancements that we see, being able to search and research deeper and deeper into the universe, being able to understand his hand in it only comes by having his spirit within us. You know, the ability to understand and pursue these scientific discoveries in a general sense, on my part at least, comes from an internet connection, comes from living in a country, in a peaceful community, where I'm not shot at, where I'm not bombed constantly, and from not being hungry, from having a belly that's full of food, from living in a country like we do that is blessed by God. You know, somebody in the midst of the East African drought, living in the middle of that scorched country, would have little care for how water, possibly on a faraway planet, nor some fish at the bottom of the Mariana Trench. Their immediate concern, daily, as they wake up, is getting food and water to survive. You know, this world's focus, where we put our resources, is misguided, even to people desperately trying to care for it, even to groups that are trying to fix and feed all of these nations. All of their focus is misguided. You know, this world, as we know, is still ruled, and the king of this world is still in power, the king of lies. He controls this world. He controls what happens. It's only when the true king returns that we look forward to that real change can happen. It never will with Satan in charge. Nothing we do trying to fix this world, as we hear time and time again, will do anything when Satan is still in charge. You know, we know anybody that tries to stand against Satan, truly, on their own, without God's Spirit within them, is doomed to failure. Because typically, they're trying to fulfill their own will, to end up, without knowing it, trying to fulfill Satan's will by believing in the lies and the deceit that he has given and that he's broadcast to this world. You know, Christ warned of this kind of attitude, taking out on our own and the results, the net results of it. Matthew 23:23, beginning, and I'm reading out of the Common English Bible. How terrible it will be for your legal experts and Pharisees, hypocrites. You give to God a tenth of mint, dill, and cumin, but you forget about the more important matters of the law, justice, peace, and faith. You ought to give a tenth, but without forgetting about those more important matters. You blind guides, in verse 24, you filter out an ant but swallow a camel. How terrible it will be for you legal experts and Pharisees, hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and plate, but inside they are full of violence and pleasure-seeking. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup so that the outside of the cup will be clean too. How terrible it will be for you legal experts and Pharisees, hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs. They look beautiful on the outside, but inside they are full of dead bones and all kinds of filth. In the same way, you look righteous to people, but inside you are full of pretense and rebellion. Three times out of the mouth of Christ, he warned how badly it would be for people who forget the important things in life. We focus on everything away from us, and nobody in this world cannot focus on the real problems at hand. Whole schools being gunned down because of religious fanatics. It doesn't get covered much here as much as, you know, our school shootings, but still, we have school shootings here. We have a world that cannot fix itself on its own, not when Satan is the king. And the key and the reason for that is because of pretense and rebellion, or as the New King James translates, hypocrisy and lawlessness, a state of being without God, a state of thinking you might be with God, thinking you might serve God, but really serving Satan, the king of lies. You know, that is at the root of all religion without God's Spirit. And it's the root of all life on earth without a righteous king leading us. You know, it's difficult at this time of the year to not want to shout out at people about how blind they are. You know, I see signs, and I'm not somebody that wants to get out and graffiti over things, but it says, you know, put Christ back in Christmas. You know, if Christ, he never was in Christmas, there's no way to put him back in. You know, if Christ, we know, was not born on the 25th, as many, even in the update, as many acknowledge. People know he wasn't born on the 25th. So why does this world memorialize it? It's an absolute, dumbfounding time of the year. People like lemmings are following after this, feeling they have to. It's hard to go to a store without having somebody wish you a Merry Christmas, even though they believe in nothing that it might stand for, at least in what people would like it to stand for. You know, a news headline this week stated, President Obama and his family arrived in Hawaii Friday evening for their traditional Christmas vacation, and they won't return until Washington until January 4th. You know, the president stated, I am now looking forward to a quiet time out, Christmas, with my family. I don't really care about how much the president is vacationing. We could start comparing different presidents and how they cost and how much they cost in their vacationing. We can get riled up in whatever side of the fence we want to stumble into. But all we'll be doing is, in essence, performing a self-lobotomy on God's Spirit within each of us. That doesn't matter. God put these men in that position for a particular reason, to show Israel their sins, to not allow us to have these blessings. It doesn't matter what they're doing. We're never going to win. We're never going to fix anything in this world, especially its political system, by getting mad about it right now. That will not solve what our purpose as true Christians is. What I do take issue with is the precedent that our national leader is setting by taking part in these customs. You know, obviously he's not the first president to take part in Christmas celebrations, but it just shows how far the descendants of Israel have gone away from God again and again and again. Constantly, Israel would find God, find blessings because of their repentance, their national repentance, and they would slip back into it. And when we see our leaders doing that same thing, when we see our leaders taking part in all these pagan customs, we know, for one, that the end times are close, but we know what is really happening, that this country has slipped back in, just as Israel has done so many times before, back into paganism. 1 Kings 11 read a little bit about Solomon. About turning away from God. 1 Kings 11, starting in verse 1. But King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as a daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonites, or Sidians and Hittites. from the nation of whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, "You shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your heart after their gods." Solomon clung to these in love. And that's kind of the key to what happened to Solomon. Why he departed because of this idolatry in that part of his life. He clung to those ideals in love. Your brethren, this world clings to its idolatry in love as well. This world is unwilling to give up the traditions, even if they make no sense. Even if these traditions can be proved to not mean anything what they do, people will not give them up. This season, this feeling, this overwhelming deceit that permeates this world is too overwhelming for mankind. They are fighting against Satan on their own, without God's Spirit, without the ability to have their minds and their eyes open. So I guess the question we have to ask ourselves daily, we know we aren't in love with these traditions, but are we fond of them? Do we get caught up at any respect in any of the pagan traditions of this world? Because even accepting those that do has strong condemnations from God. You know, there's a warning to each and every one of us, brethren. Revelation 18 for my last scripture. It's a warning we must heed day in and day out as we grow closer to God, as we try to, as we work towards that end goal, that we don't fall by the wayside. Revelation 18, starting in verse 2. "And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, prisons for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, unless you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached the heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as a queen, I am no widow, and I will not see sorrow." We have to come out of this system, brethren. This system, those people that are completely blinded by Satan, love it. They don't need God. They don't need anything in their minds. They have it all. They have everything they need figured out. But they're on their own. They're naked. And they're without God. They have the King of Lies leading their lives. Your brethren, this world is not going to be happy in these coming years when idolatry is taken away from them, when this system is removed from their enjoyment. It's going to be a terrible time. Many people are not going to be happy with what Christ is bringing back this world. Brethren, when that happens, let's make sure we are the ones that are rejoicing in all of this idolatry going away, not the ones that are crying because of it.